when we talk about funding and talk about grant funding, it's applications. And how do I write application? And I'm like, oh Lord, oh, okay, this is deeper. This is deeper than just talking about how to do funding, that everyone thinks like grant applications are the end all be all. So I said to myself, this is an episode, okay? And so thank you. Thank you to all of you who helped co-create this episode. Welcome to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast, the only podcast focused on helping visionary leaders of health centers and practices secure grants, contracts, and other funding to strengthen, scale, and sustain their vision of supporting under-resourced communities of color. I'm your host, Dr. Omolara, 20-year pediatrician, CEO of my own multi-practice health network, and fundraising expert, raising over $3 million to date and counting. I definitely know firsthand the challenges that come with financially sustaining quality healthcare for marginalized communities. Check out each episode where we'll bring you insights and advice from myself and other community health leaders who successfully secured funding for their organizations. From navigating grant applications, building relationships with funders, we'll help you elevate your funding strategy and bring more money to support your mission. So if you're ready to take your health organization to the next level, welcome to your funding secret weapon. Let's go. Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast. You are in the right place. Hi, how are you all? I'm doing well. I hope everyone is doing well. I did want to let you know that today we are starting a series which is called Fix Your Funding. Fix it, okay? Fix it, Jesus. Fix your funding. And I wanted to do this because I've been doing a lot of intake since we started the podcast. And if you all don't know, that we have literally a just free intake where you can submit your information about where your organization is, what they're doing in healthcare, and then we're able to give you some insight into kind of what we think your approach should be and what kind of resources and support. So it's really a win-win. So first and foremost, just make sure if you haven't done that and you've been listening to this podcast, why? I'm just going to ask you why. Why not? Okay, you sit with that. But it is at bit.ly/mmfundingintake. Okay, MM and Melanin Medicine Funding Intake. So you literally can go there. You can fill that out. It'll probably take you about 5 to 7 minutes, maybe less. Okay, if you have all of your information together. And that way we have the information and we can be able to really support. So we've gotten a lot of intakes specifically from, you know, health centers, from health practices, from nonprofit health organizations. You know, as long as you're taking care of underserved populations and you have a commitment towards supporting equity for communities of color, we're here. We're here. And one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of people are very much centered on grant applications. When we talk about funding and talk about grant funding, it's applications, applications. And how do I write application? And I'm like, oh Lord, oh, okay, this is deeper. This is deeper than, you know, just talking about how to do funding, that everyone thinks like grant applications are the end all be all. So I said to myself, this is an episode, okay? And so thank you. Thank you to all of you who helped co-create this episode. First and foremost, I also wanted to mention that I was on the Grow a Group Practice podcast, which is under the practice for the practice of your practice, excuse me. And so go take a listen. You know, I like sharing nuggets. I will tell all of you that part of a good funding strategy is getting visible in front of your funders, being a thought leader. And so if you're not already doing that, that probably is another episode. But if you're not already trying to kind of share your innovation and how you do things differently in your organization, that can keep you from some funding opportunities. So, and we'll talk a little bit about that. This is not going to be a long episode because I want to get straight to the point for you all. I know you all are busy. And I just wanted to also state that You know, I've gotten some really great messages about how this has been so helpful. The podcast has been helpful. I've kind of just feel like it's a space where it's, you know, certain people, certain organizations are able to work with us just because we're very high touch, but then certain ones aren't yet at that space. And I kind of am like, here, just listen to the podcast. That way, then you'll be ready and time is ready to work with us. And so I just wanted to really thank you all for listening and also thank those of you who shared. And a big up to those of you who are rating, but not just rating, reviewing. Okay. The reviews are absolutely awesome. You can do that on Spotify, you can do that on Apple Podcasts. You know, this is just really important for us, I think, to just close the information gap, right? And be able to make sure that all of the organizations, especially those that oftentimes are led by people of color, that all of us have access to information to ensure that we can build, sustain, and scale the work that we do to reach more lives. So, yay. So let's start. We're going to talk a little bit about fixing your funding. All right. So first and foremost, this is the problem. Today, we want to talk about stop waiting for grant applications and start creating grant opportunities. Okay. And this is why I brought this up is because when my co-founders and I started Strong Children Wellness, you all now should be very familiar with our practices. We have two, we're going to have three by the end of this year, mid-year. And then also we have some contracted work that we do. And so we have multiple places that we are working. We have our providers working. But the first money that we got was not an application, you all. It was a grant, but we didn't apply for it. Okay. Let me say that again. It was not a grant application. All right. And I'm going to share exactly how that happened because I think it's so important for all of us to recognize that there's some opportunities that will come, but grant applications are like, I don't want to say the bottom of the barrel, but they're not the bulk of the funding that goes out to organizations. They are something maybe that they've allocated for sometimes, you know, that they really want to push a certain agenda or a certain issue for the foundation, but they're not the bulk. The bulk of the funding is given not through applications. And so I need for all of us to understand that. All right. So the problem with just relying on, let's talk about the problem first. Okay. The problem with just relying on applying for grants is that applications that fit your organization may not be consistently available. All of you have done this, right? You know, we use multiple databases to help our clients. We kind of operate almost like a development officer, a chief development officer for the organizations that we work with that can't afford a development officer. And in doing that, we have multiple databases that we use to triangulate or put together a list of different applications potentially, but sometimes they're just not available for the type of work that that organization does. And then you don't want to sit there like, oh, well, you know, let me just wait and figure out how I'm going to pay all these people and move to the next level of the practice or the organization, which I know needs to happen. I'll just wait. Let me just sit here. Let me get some popcorn. No, we can't do that. So applications that fit your organization, whether it be the right budget or the right focus area, that's not always a given that they're always going to be there. Now, I would say our team is very good at sourcing these things and finding things, but I will say that they're not always there consistently, okay? And so it's going to be important for you to think about, okay, I don't want my opportunities to be limited by whether or not a foundation was nice enough to put out an application. The second thing is only a small percentage of funders actually invite grant applications. And they don't happen, like I said, often. So you might have noticed, if you are in this space, that, you know, you're looking for funding, you don't want to take out a loan, you don't, you know, maybe not an investable business, and you don't want to go that route, you know, because contrary to popular opinion and thought, actually VC is not a successful, it's not that successful. It's like a huge, it's only a small percentage of VC-backed organizations that actually succeed and do well. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit. But, you know, only a small percentage of funders actually invite the grant applications. So you might go to a website and you'll see a foundation. You're like, oh my God, I found it. Oh my gosh, this foundation's always funding my, let's say, mental health, you know, work. It always funds mental health work in the state. But it says, you know, only invited proposals. Mm-hmm. Now what you gonna do? Okay. Now what are you going to do? And so we're gonna talk about that. Like how do I get invited, right? It's, it feels like kind of like VIP a little bit. Like, why am I, what should I do? And a lot of us see them, they're like, okay, well, I guess I can't work with them. That is not the case. Okay. And then the third thing is, when you wait for grant applications, you're in competition mode now. You now have, are in a period where now you're in a competition pool, which limits the time that a funder truly has to review your organization, really talk through it, really think about how it aligns. Now they're looking at you and Susan and Tom and XYZ Health Center and ABC Health Organization and everybody. And so now you have put yourself in this funding opportunity space, but it has reduced your likelihood of potentially being successful because your reviewer is not able to have the bandwidth to maybe really have true discussions with you and provide the insight on what they do and how to really make sure that this is something that connects with their funding priorities and also will be beneficial for you. Remember, it's a partnership. I don't like to talk about this as, oh, begging for money or grants. It's really a partnership where you're giving them the opportunity to fund something that's extremely important for the foundation. All right. So seeing that, I hope that you're understanding that. I don't want you to sit in self-pity. Okay. I hope you understand it's extremely important for you to say to yourself, am I waiting for grant applications? Why am I doing this? What am I afraid of? What do I know, right? And then being able to say to myself, the first thing is, are you even applying for grant applications? So that's a different story, okay? But if you are, and then you're kind of sitting in drought a lot of times, where there isn't anything, then I do want you to definitely think about, are these the problems that I'm encountering? Okay. So give me a second. We'll just go to a quick break and then I'll come back with the three things that you can do to start creating grant opportunities for yourself. What is it that your organization needs to do differently? And how to know that, right? You know, looking for grant applications is not a funding strategy. We'll get to that. All right. See you at the break. Are you spending nights and weekends unsuccessfully trying to figure out on your own how you can get your organization to stop losing money? Are you relying on so much of low Medicaid insurance payments for your services that you have to pack your patient's schedule? Are you making revenue but don't have the profit margins to really hire the team you need? And so your current team is burning out. And are you getting opportunities to connect with potential partners or funders, but you struggle with how to actually get them to the finish line and to say yes? What if I told you that in less than 30 minutes, you could learn the 5 things you must do to position your practice for multiple 6-figure grants and contracts that will diversify your revenue stream, help you scale, and truly create the impact that you want for a community in need? Amazing, right? Well, you're welcome. It's time to access our free mini workshop, The 5 Keys to Ensure Your Health Practice Can Get Over 500K in Grants and Contracts Every Year. Go to bit.ly/5keysforfundingwebinar. In this mini workshop, we not only dive into the five things you need to position your practice to get these contracts and grants successfully, but we help you unlock a step-by-step process on how to structure your practice to attract foundation dollars. So head to bit.ly/5keysforfundingwebinar and get your money today. Okay, so let's talk about these three things that are extremely important. The first one being an online presence, you all. An online presence, yes. So I am finding that many of you, despite my pleas, are not showing up online as an organization. Okay. And there are going to be two. One is your company needs to show up online. One of the things that we do with our clients is helping them build out their company profile to really sit there and be a true kind of landing page, and also supporting them with their personal profile that usually is the way that they can gain visibility and people will look at their organization. And by people, we mean funders will look at their organization and say, yes, that's something that I want to fund because this person really gets it, right? And so getting visibility that your organization is doing something unique is so important. Now, it does not have to be online, okay? But you have so much, like we need to take advantage of what we have available. It's like when I get upset when there are still like places with paper charts, because I'm like, come on, y'all, come on. It's 2023. Okay. It doesn't exactly look like what it looked like for the Jetsons, but it is 2023. We need to take advantage of what's available to us. So this is not meaning that you can't do this in terms of getting visibility offline, which I do think is extremely important and actually is part of what we also talk about, and I will talk about actually as well. But I wanna make sure that you all have an online presence for your organization, and this is not Facebook and Instagram, okay? This is actually LinkedIn. This is where the heavy decision makers hit, right? This is where they are. This is where they'll go for their information to get new insight on what they should learn about a specific space, about a specific funding priority for their organization. It's here. And so there are different ways to do this, but the first and foremost is to make sure you have a profile that when people go, they're able to see, oh, this is the organization that she leads, and this is what they do, and this is why it's amazing. So a profile is going to be extremely important. You know, I'm not even going to talk about content. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but I think it's just important for you to make sure that, do I have an online presence? And this is not putting your resume on. This is not like the online presence that you need to have when you were working at, you know, ABC organization. This isn't an online presence to showcase the problem that your organization solves. And I like to talk about, you want to entice your funder audience to learn more. You want to entice them to be like, oh, what is this? This is exactly what we should be funding. And so how do we do that? I talk about entice because not only is it a great word, it is an acronym. And so I want you to think about, and I want you to showcase in your profile, you know, in the featured areas, in the content that you provide about your organization, any posts about what your organization is doing, how is the solution you provide empowering, right? How is it really changing lives? How is it really transforming people? How is it positioned to transform people if you haven't done that specific thing that you want to get funded yet? How is it novel? Okay, how are you doing things differently than what's been done to solve these issues? How is it thoughtful? How are you using what you've learned from the community, what you've been able to gather for that problem, and you've read, and not read, but really I like to say the experiences of those that are affected. How has that formed that? How has that created the solution? And then how is it informed by not just the experience, but the expertise and the evidence that is available to you about what's not worked, the research? You know, guys, I used to be a professor, so, you know, research is very important. Also a public health researcher, so fellowship trained, yes. So just making sure that that is extremely important. So has it informed I? How is it comprehensive C, right? So does your solution really help people in a way that it's a full solution and they're not lacking? Okay, so I like to say even for SCW, you know, when we were thinking about social care and introducing that, we have to think about how do we screen for it? Then how do we navigate, right? Help people find the resources. Once we find out the screening, how do we help them refer? How do we follow up and make sure that we've closed, that they actually did connect to the service? All of those needed to be part of our solution for that issue. So it was comprehensive. And then how is it effective? Okay, or efficient. I like to say either or is helpful, right? Because we know that certain solutions and things that happen in healthcare can lead to delays in care, can lead to delays in actually getting problem solved. So efficiency can be really helpful if the solution is, makes things more efficient. Or of course, if we notice that, you know, it's a slam dunk, if we notice that it is not effective, like we still see people after using the solution who still do not have the problem, specifically those who encounter a lot of inequities because solutions aren't made for them, aren't designed for them. And this especially comes with a lot of different types of under-resourced communities, low-income communities, immigrant communities, of course, Black communities. And so how do we make sure that each of these things is, you know, addressed by your solution? And so that is what you want to be able to communicate online about your organization. You want to be able to share that. And if, you know, you have the opportunity, some of you, I mentioned earlier, might have the opportunity to be able to be showcased, to get PR for your work, or really identify something that's going on in the news that your solution helps. So while this is not related to my practice per se, but right now, Medicaid, right, the redetermination process, the fact that a lot of people are going to go off of Medicaid. Well, we've run a practice where there are a lot of people on Medicaid in our practice. And so we had to start to think about how are we going to really prevent people from being disenrolled. And when we did that, we created some really interesting, you know, training materials and started talking, how do we train our staff? How do we make them more effective? And so then it was kind of like, well, let's share that. Let's share what we're doing and how our practices and doing this, and share it not only so people can learn, but also funders will be able to see, hey, this is really exciting how they're doing this. Let's pour more money into this organization. And so I just want you to always think about that dual role, that when you share what you're doing, the solution, and you have that online presence to do it, it allows for you to reach more people and really be able to impact larger communities much more quickly. All right. The next one is outreach. Okay. And so outreach really refers to creating relationships with funders. I need for you all to think about this like you think about dating. Okay. All right. Yes, we're going to take this lovely topic of funding and move it into dating. Okay. So I want you to create a relationship with a funder. And I want you to think about when you go to meet somebody for the first time, do you ask them, hey, can you marry me? When you first meet them, right? And I like to think about funding kind of like that, because you're going to have somebody who's really going to be connected to you because they just gave you a whole bunch of money and they really want to see how things turn out. And so you don't ask that in the beginning, right? you really start with trying to learn more about the other person. So that means identifying which foundations are extremely important to, or prioritize the work that you do. And I like to say in your state, because that gives you the propensity to maybe be able to meet in person, which is so valuable, so valuable. And that you want to learn about the priorities for them, what they've been doing, what they've been seeing, and what they're not seeing, what they think is on the road ahead. This is not the time to be like, well, you know, can I get some money, by the way? This is the time to literally just learn and be able to be someone who is connected to potential funders that you know have funded healthcare in the past, right? And wanting to learn more about them, wanting to be able to learn more about, you know, potentially what are, and share, get their advice on what you're doing. You know, they've seen a lot. They can be a really great resource because they've seen programs grow, they've seen programs change. And so getting advice is extremely important. I remember one of our first conversations, that was when we were first starting, I think it was 2020, maybe 2019. And I remember this guy saying, I know this sounds crazy, but it's weird. Like when you ask for advice, somehow that relationship at some point, you kind of get money. And when you ask for money, you may not get the money. You'll probably just get advice. And so, you know, if you're looking for funding, advice is the way to go. Really doing some genuine conversations to identify, like to learn more, because that foundation, maybe on paper or on their website, looks like it actually will provide you with what you need. But then when you meet with the funder, you're like, oh, this is not a fit, right? So now you have a grant, you know, opportunity that maybe like that you were, I'm sorry, you have time that you were going to spend on a specific opportunity that doesn't make sense with this organization, and you can move on to others. So I just want you to think about outreach and thinking about it more from learning about the other person. The last thing is that I want you to talk, and I want to talk through an outcome. So I'll talk with that just a little bit. Okay. And I'll see you after the break to talk about outcomes.
Wouldn't it be nice to get new six-figure grant opportunities straight to your inbox every month? Well, subscribe to Build, Fund, Grow, our monthly newsletter, and get a list of new funding opportunities and growth tips curated by our Melanin and Medicine research team, specifically for healthcare organizations serving low-income communities. It is literally the easiest thing you can do to get the capital to grow the revenue and the impact of your mission-driven healthcare organization. Just go to bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. Trust us, your team will thank you for making this so easy. Get on the list at bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. And get the money you deserve ASAP. That's bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. See you on the list.
All right. So let's talk about outcomes. Okay. Outcomes is, oh my gosh. Everybody loves implementation. People even love planning, right? Making it, but outcomes, oh, outcomes. Everyone's just like, no. No, this is not fun. This is not fun. Evaluation, no. Monitoring, data, no. Mm-mm, no. Let's do something else. But outcomes has literally been the fast track to getting funding. And why is it the fast track to creating grant opportunities? Because so few people measure them. And so I think more people should measure them. But what I will say right now is that you move to the top 1%, the creme de la creme, when you are able to share outcomes of the work that you're doing, okay? Yes, I come from a background where we did like qualitative and quantitative research, all different types of studies, you know, trials, all of those kind of things, quasi-experimental trials. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now, but it doesn't have to be that deep. Literally, it can be information that comes from your people who are going through your organization already. What are the changes that have happened in their lives? Can we do a write report on a certain group or cohort that had a specific condition? And now, how are they doing now? Have you implemented any feedback surveys? Are you collecting anything at baseline? A lot of you can use your EMRs to actually be able to identify what the population that has gone through the specific solution that you want to get more funding for, what have they gone through? And you can look at what's happened with them now. Maybe if you're not implementing things like certain screens or certain things to measure their impact, those are really great investments to make. And they're not financial a lot of times. They're just time and just planning and thoughtfulness to say, okay, every patient is going to get this screen who has these specific criteria. And so when we do that, that now helps us to put together info and share. And this can be content that you're sharing. It can be literally talking with those funders again and sharing it in a little white paper or a little report, a one pager about how the year has been, how the last 6 months, this quarter, and just giving them an update on this is, I know we've talked and this is what's been happening. It's going to be important for you. You know, a lot of our clients, we do this for them because we really know how to put together these reports and really know how to engage the funder to be able to use that to discuss and move towards actual funding, to be invited for a funding opportunity. But regardless, even if you're just putting together, just doing that on your own, it's going to be extremely helpful to have outcomes. It's really, I want you to, whenever you're thinking about creating funding opportunities, and you see how we haven't mentioned applications at all, these things that you do, the online presence, the outreach, this is how you get invited for funding. Right? Those people, remember we saw only invited proposals, right? This is how you get invited to the party, okay? By relationship building, by showing up online, by sharing what you're doing consistently. This is how you get invited. So I want you to think about, have I done anything online? Can people find me and know what I'm doing? Have I shared? Have I met with funders in my state who fund healthcare? Okay. Have I put together anything that shows the effectiveness of what I'm doing, but why we need to actually get more money to help evaluate this? Like, we have qualitative impact, but we want to really make sure this truly works, but we need help with either getting funding for a biostatistician at a local academic college to help us like do the quantitative data analysis, or we need help with putting together a strategy for MME so that we can measure on a population level. Whatever that looks like, I want you to be able to think about, you know, this is not just about writing grant applications. It's about really creating relationships so that you have a pipeline of funding. And so for all of you who are watching and are listening, I do want you to really think through this and just identify if there are any gaps for you. Okay, this is extremely important, and I hope that you start to think through this and definitely leave some messages if you have questions. You can go to melaninandmedicine.co/messages. And you can also go to, we have both our free webinar and then our 90-minute masterclass. You can check those out. Just go to our free resources. All of that's in the show notes. But otherwise, I hope that this was helpful for you. And I'm excited that I'm hoping that some of you will stop waiting for grant applications and start creating these opportunities. All right, so have a good week, and I will see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Hey, visionaries. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, can you do me a favor, or maybe two? Can you subscribe, and then can you share it with a friend? And if you really liked it, can you review and rate it on Apple Podcasts? So, as you know, it helps our podcast to be seen by more and more Black and brown women in healthcare across the globe. I also want to make sure that we don't leave you hanging if you're trying to get funding for your practice or if you're just stuck. Head to our resources page at bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. That's bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. And there we have masterclasses, learning series, as well as the ability to just cut to the chase and submit an intake and get the personalized feedback on your practice that you want. This podcast is a sisterhood, so don't forget to join the party and the conversation on Instagram. DM us, tell us what you want to hear, comments about the episode, or what we didn't talk about. We love answering questions, and maybe your question might get featured on the podcast. So please don't be shy. You can follow us at Melanin Medicine Co. Your vision is big, and we're here to let you know it's possible. Keep going, and definitely keep listening. See you next week.